2.4 AMD processors, 4 gigs of RAM, a terabyte RAID array of high disk space, flat screens, high powered graphics cards, a whole galaxy of multicolored LED lights, also a quart of cooling liquid, dual air DVD burners, and a gigabyte of LAN. Not that we need it at all for the show, but once you get locked into a serious hardware collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can.
Hello, hackers! Welcome to Hacker Voice Radio on the 28th and the 29th of Marchus Maximus 2006. We've got Planet and me on the show right now. I don't know if Dark Nature will be popping in probably later. I think he's up for some of that goodness. I've run out of cigarettes, and the situation is currently critical. I need 2 bags of tobacco stat. Loading! How are you, buddy?
Not bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good.
Good stuff.
Been playing around with a new CMS. Now, CMS stands for Content Management System. Basically, it's a funky, very cool, dynamic website. The one I was trying out last night is called E107. Never tried it before. First time round. Looks very funky. Looks very cool. I configured, basically, CMS requires 3 key parts: MySQL backend, PHP, and Apache. So you need all 3 to basically be able to run this thing, and I managed to configure everything. It's really quite simple. I did it in under half an hour, and you know, within half an hour you can have a very very flexible, very dynamic website up and live and running, it's quite spiffy. So I think I'm going to use that kind of model for a little project I have in the works at the moment. I'm not going to disclose too much information about it yet, but it you might have seen on the front page something called Hack London 2006, and that is the project, and this website is going to be part of it. More information will be available as I make it up.
Cool, so that is an actual project then, the whole Hack London.
It is, yeah.
Because I just thought you put that on that image that you took for it looking cool.
Oh, well, I mean, I took the image for the project.
Ah.
Yeah, I didn't just, like, make it up afterwards. Oh, I'll just, I don't know, use that.
I'll type Hack London on it and,
yeah.
You know. That's what I thought you did. I really thought it had no meaning whatsoever. I just thought it was you buggering about.
Ye of little faith.
Yes, yes. Now my face is red.
Yeah. Hot.
You love it.
Ooh. And Dark Nature has to go pee.
Stay tuned for more developments on that. So what's the ETA on details for this whole Hack London mystery project thing?
Well,
We're
looking at roughly sometime in the next 2 weeks. That's when I'll kind of elaborate on it let people know what's going on. And see if there's any kind of interest about it. Obviously, nobody will know what the hell it's about because they don't know what it's about. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So once everything's kind of set up and ready to go, then you know I'll be telling people what it is and what it's all about. So yeah.
cool stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's... I'd advise people to go ahead and plot around and set up your own little web server with a bit of a, you know, database back end to it or something like that. It's just actually quite simple and quite fun to do. I only came across a few problems when I was doing it. You'd be surprised how simple it is. You can actually download a program. This is for Windows, and it's basically, it just has all the components in there ready to go. So what you need to do is just configure it to your needs, and off you go, and you've got a fully functioning website with everything you need. However, I have to advise people that if you do use this program, it's called EasyPHP. Do not, for any circumstances, make it a public-facing service, because that version is exploitable, and it says it on many occasions during the installation and finally after. So it's basically just a very simple way of testing stuff very quickly, and it's fantastic, but do not make it a live public-facing service, because you will get pwned. And probably not by somebody, probably just by a bot or, a robotic exploit machine.
Yeah, it actually says that during the installation.
Yes.
Don't use this, it's crap.
No, it doesn't, it doesn't say it's crap, it just says, do not use this version as a public server.
Oh.
It's only meant for testing. It's only meant for playing around, and because it's so flexible and versatile, it's very good for testing, like testing websites, testing themes, testing CMSs and stuff like that, and behind the firewall development work. There's absolutely no need for it to be live. There's no need for it to be public facing, because as soon as you do, you're going to be fucksawed.
That's pretty strange that you actually see that during the installation of the program.
Yeah.
It comes out and it warns you and says, this isn't secure, don't put it in this kind of environment. Yeah. You know, hopefully other companies will take a leaf out of their book.
Yeah.
Microsoft, I'm looking
for. Well, when you're installing Microsoft XP, it says do not use this as a actual program.
Yeah, this operating system is great in theory.
Yeah,
just don't use it for anything business critical.
Yeah, it looks really nice, but don't use a Mac. I mean, come on.
No, I've got nothing to back that up with. I'm just having a poke at a big bill.
I mean, what else? It's, oh, yes, well, don't use Windows because it's crap. Yes, have Linux installed throughout the entire enterprise, and then you'll find people not knowing what the hell to do. And you've spent more money than you could ever imagine just by buying these very, very hardcore sysadmins to keep all your shit running.
How are we going to play solitaire now?
Yeah, exactly. How are we going to play solitaire? There is no fucking solitaire on a Linux box. There's just a little penguin that does absolutely nothing, and this is what people see. And all they want is Minesweeper and solitaire.
Hell yeah.
Come on, developers. Listen to these people. Hello, Dark Nature. How are you?
Hello. How's it going?
Yeah, not bad. I guess you came in mid-rant through there.
Yeah, I had to just pop out the room. The
to do a piss. Full.
Yeah, the bucket was full.
Don't worry, we announced it.
Oh, cool. I like for the hacker community to toilet... toilet needs.
It's one of the most, it's one of the most important things that some guy in Siberia or Northern Korea needs to know, that Dark Nature has gone to the toilet.
I think also it's one of our oldest traditions on Hacker Voice Radio.
Yeah.
That at least one of us will go for a piss during the show.
Yeah.
It's normally me. Well, get it under control.
Nothing like being prepared, eh?
Right, so let's spend a few moments taking a look at today's news, and then we can talk about various things. I think, Dark Nature, you said you wanted to talk about a few things last night to me when after the show. You spoke to me quickly.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been looking at just lately is virtual machines.
Right.
And all that goodness. I've only just started playing like with the whole thing just over the last few days or so.
Yeah.
With a program called Box. It's called B-O-C-H-S.
Right.
It allows you to run a virtual PC on your Windows or Linux box. Mm. And you can create a disk image, install an OS of your choice, try it out in like a sandpit environment.
Cool.
Pretty cool stuff. I mean, it's not state of the art. It's not VMware by any stretch of the imagination, but it is free.
Right.
And it's certainly if you've not played with a virtual machine before, and you just want to get into the whole into the virtualization game. You know,
sure.
It's a good way to start. Configuring the virtual machine all via text files, mm-hmm. So that's and is well documented indeed. So I've just been pissing about setting up a Windows 95 box on the XP box.
Cool. Well, if we want to talk about that, you can do so, and I'm sure people will be able to appreciate listening to that, because it's. The only thing you really hear about is VMware and stuff like that, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really have a lot to say about it just yet, because, as I say, I've only just really sort of started investigating the whole thing myself. But I can see one great advantage of it, a couple of great advantages. One of them would be along the lines of you've just got a new OS, or you want to try out an open source Linux distro.
Yeah.
But you don't want to sacrifice your computer because you don't know if it's going to work or not. Well, you can set up a virtual computer, throw the OS on there. If it all goes like pear-shaped, it don't really matter because you just here's the disk image and start again. Another good advantage is quite often you're surfing the old interweb and come across these sites that say best displayed in Internet Explorer version 6 or above. Now, obviously, being all lead hackers, we don't like to mess with the Internet Explorer because it's, you know, the devil's own work. So, using the Firefox, what I think would be a good idea is you set up a virtual XP machine, run Internet Explorer from that, and let it go any problems that occur. Well, they just occur to the virtual machine. Once that's all too bad, you can just erase it, start again.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool piece of kit.
And also, virtual machines are used a lot with secure services, such as servers running on top of servers. It's a great developer's tool, because you can run different operating systems from one machine and be able to debug various issues throughout different operating systems while working on the same box in a very flexible and versatile environment.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly in the case of this application that I'm playing with, Box, you can only run the one virtual machine at a time within that environment.
Mm.
But if you get into VMware, you could set up a virtual network, and if you want to play with your hacking exploits and you want to get into hacking a small network, but you can't really afford to buy five or six boxes, well, you just set up five or six virtual boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can behave in the same way. Pretty cool stuff. And cheap. I mean, even if you want to buy VMware off the shelf, download it. It's only, I think, 140 quid or something, maybe even less. I'll get the free VMware player, which sadly doesn't allow you to make your own virtual machines legally. but there's no end of virtual machines that you can download and. Off the web, so it's the new hotness for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is definitely like I say, a great toy.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I've only just I've been set up a virtual Windows 95 machine, only because that was the first thing they could grab, like, put my hands on the other day. You know, was a Windows 95 CD, an XP disc's out. It's out with somebody else at the moment, and I thought, well, it's just a bit of fun, really. You know,
yeah.
Put this one. Get a 95 box running on top of an XP box, you know, just see what happens to it.
What you should do is get a Windows 3.1 box running on top of XP, and then start installing different network services on that 3.1 box, and see if you can get a web server running from a 3.1 box and have it public facing, and see how long that lasts. That'd be good fun.
That would be good.
Because at the end of the day, if anyone owns the box, then all you have to do is just restart the, you know, virtual server session. nothing's That's right. gone wrong. It's just a virtual server running on top of another server. And if somebody blows it up, then all you have to do is just restart the session and everything's back to normal. So, yeah.
Absolutely, it's a great toy. It's one of those things where I wish I'd discovered that one a while back.
Yeah. Now, there's another product out there being created by IBM. It's called, I think it's called a SoulPod. I don't know if anyone's heard about this. It's basically like it can run on any USB device. iPods, iRivers, USB hard drives, and what happens is you plug your USB hard disk into a computer that runs this Soul service, and you're using that and then you need to move quickly. So what happens is you suspend the session. It then saves an image of the session onto the hard disk of this device. And you go off, and you go on your merry way. You come to another computer. You can plug your hard disk in and boot straight off the hard disk into the session that you were using moments earlier. And then if something happens and you need to go again from that computer, you basically suspend it again. Within moments, you've frozen that image and you're off on your way again. And I saw the demonstration video of this, and it's fantastic. Literally, everything you were doing that moment when you suspended the session comes back to life. If you were watching a movie, writing a Word document, as well as playing, you know, solitaire or something like that, that actual frame would be back up instantly, and you'll be away. And the advantage of it is that you're not carrying a laptop around. You're not carrying a huge desktop around with you. All you're carrying is this little USB hard disk that you can literally attach to any computer and basically boot straight into it as if you were booting onto, you know, your laptop. So it's fantastic. It's a really cool little product that they've come out with.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to kind of say what it kind of means to us as IT or security professionals or whatever, or as hackers, it means that you can get onto any machine and have precisely the most customized tools that you had on that session loaded up straight, ready to go. So you could have 4 or 5 bash shells with different things ready to fire, and it would spring into that session straight away, and you could do whatever you need to do there and then without having to worry about hardware configuration or anything like that. It goes straight into it. It's really cool.
That is very cool. Yeah. I can't picture how it would work, to be honest. It wouldn't have to copy the entire contents of the hard drive.
Yeah, it's basically, it has different layers. I don't know if anyone wants to Google SoulPod, but what it does is it has like application layers and different kind of.
I think. Kind are you of, still hearing me there?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
I've lost you.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back.
Cool. Basically, it has different kind of session layers on okay. the actual on the drive. So it would have like a Linux kernel on there, and it would have a image saved of precisely what you were doing, and then another encryption layer whereby you encrypt the entire session. So when you plug this thing into it, into a computer, you turn the computer on, it boots from the USB drive, it starts recognizing the hardware, loads up the correct hardware, boots into the session layer, which then presents you with a login dialog box where you have to place your passphrase in, which could be on a USB disk, it could be your fingerprint, or it could just be a simple alphanumeric password. Once that's done, it then springs back into life and loads up your actual image of the previous session that you had. So that could be, you know, yeah. It's very cool.
That's rad.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at this.
It is
Skype's having issues again, by the way. Yeah.
Right. It is something.
Skype's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's why we're trying to move away from all this crap. Oops. Are you still there, Planet?
Yeah, still there, mate.
Cool.
Just googling for, was it SoulPod or SoulDog?
It's SoulPod.
Pod.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an IBM IBM research product. Yeah.
Can't see anything.
Let's see, IBM Research.
I think Firefox did a Google for it as well. He got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing but a SoulPod. I actually Googled for SoulDog.
Right.
First of all, and I came up with a load of weird websites. Yeah. I really should turn my safe search off. Don't Google image search for anything.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I completely crashed out then.
It's an Hello? IBM. Hi. Can you hear us?
Is it gone again?
Yeah, it's gone again.
Is that the little whip-wop noise?
Yeah. Right, it's called. It's like. They're basically selling this as it captures the PC's soul. As it were, and it's I'm just trying to get to that source so I can give everyone else a link to it. It is such an amazing little thing. It is very, very cool. And I think it's called SoulPod. I'm pretty sure about it.
Sounds bloody incredible, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm not chatting shit, I assure you.
No.
And I wasn't high when I saw this.
Or asleep.
Yeah.
I had this great dream.
I found it. It's,
You got it?
It's www.research.ibm.com and, and you go to projects, and you should find a place to go there. Or you can do a search through their own website. This is such great radio.
But it's on there somewhere.
Yeah, I'll find it. Don't worry about it.
Cool. Find it, put me a link on the forums.
Yeah.
Because it sounds bloody incredible, mate.
It is, it is.
Like you're saying, I think mm-hmm. that is pretty much the next step.
Yeah.
For IT and security professionals. Mm. Whereas before, you could carry around a customised live CD.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a USB device, and you can boot into an operating system that's got all the tools you need.
Mm.
Now, with what you're describing, you can boot into an actual session.
That's right.
That's got everything you need.
That's right.
So, it's not just, oh, yeah, if I boot from this, I've got the tools.
Yeah.
No. You boot from this, you've got all the windows open, you've got it exactly as you left it. It sounds fucking great.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the disadvantages of like, live CDs is that you can't write to it. So whatever you've done, as in stuff that you've done inside the operating system, inside the boot CD, is lost. You know, the great thing about this thing is that you whatever you do is saved and extremely portable, so you can, you know, directly transfer what you've done that minute into another machine wherever you are, and it's very quick to actually kill these sessions. The only thing that takes some time is to actually get the sessions up. It takes a lot of time for it to, you know, boot into it, detect the hardware, and then and go through it straight through, which is not very... I'm not very surprised about that, because you're talking about, you know, USB version 2 stuff. It's not a huge amount of throughput capacity as you would have with IDE or a SCSI. If you see what I mean. So you shouldn't really be too surprised. And it is Soul Pad, not Soul Pod. That's why I couldn't find it. And I've got a link straight to it, which I'm going to drop into IRC. And it's www.research.ibm.com /wearablecomputing/soulpad/soulpad.html. So if anyone's interested in taking a look at this little device, do so from there, because it's very hot. And I think there's a video demonstrating this how this works on there as well. It's very, very hot. It's a nice little product.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. It looks like the business. I'm not going to try the video just yet, not with Skype being there. I think I might have to download the updated version of Skype, to be honest. I'm still running out of the...
That's probably why you're having so many problems.
It could well be, yeah. I think I need to wind it up or something. Or the elastic band's gone a bit slack or something, I don't know.
Yeah, it is really, really hot. And, you know, especially for, like, the people that work in huge complexes and very big corporations, you need a quick fix solution whereby you can just transfer everything you've done half an hour ago in a meeting to another machine without lobbing around a huge laptop, you know. And you don't have to worry about battery power. Why? Because the battery power and all power will be contained in the actual machine that you're using. You don't have to worry about security, because everything is secure within the session using quite a strong encryption. And it's very, I don't know, it's very cool. I'm almost like fucking selling this thing, and they haven't even started selling this thing themselves. So ka-ching, 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 send some of that money to me.
It really is like, you know, hacking like in the movies, isn't it? You know, the...
It is a little bit like that, yeah, just, yeah.
You know, when they just switch on the computer and it's immediately there and...
Yeah, I think that's why I got so excited when I first saw it, because I saw how what this thing could do and what I could do with it.
I'm going to put myself down for one of those.
Yeah.
It's the business.
Right, what do we have in the news? That see what's taken interest with our fellow co-hosts.
Well, we've got a link kindly provided by LucasAid, as always.
Yeah.
The man just does not stop.
The man with the master plan.
Oh, yeah. This is creepy. Mm-hmm. One of the links he's given us today is design a baby clinic to charge £6,000 per child.
Wow.
Now, Britain's first IVF design a baby clinic is to charge about £6,000 for a made-to-order infant.
Okay.
Ooh, doesn't that just make you feel wrong inside? The £5 million centre will bring pioneering embryo screening techniques for the creation of, in quotes, saviour siblings to
that
Britain.
That sounds so fucked up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is going to go wrong. In addition,
shock.
It will offer testing for up to 100 inherent gene disorders.
Right.
Such as muscular dystrophy,
yeah.
I think, and cystic fibrosis. Embryos found to be carrying rogue genes will be discarded, and only healthy embryos implanted into their mothers.
Wow.
And it goes on for quite a while, but I think that gets you the general gist of what's going on.
What happens design when they find a three-thought gene?
Oh, that's a rogue gene. That has to be chucked in the bin.
Yes. Your child has 65% potential of becoming a thought criminal.
Yeah. Terminate.
Terminate. Error.
Now, I'm torn on this one. I have to say, it sounds quite horrible, the whole thing of being able to breed, breed out certain things, and it's a bit eugenics-y. But, I don't know, I don't think I would have liked to have been born with, a serious, genetic disorder, which, maybe it wouldn't manifest itself immediately in life, but, down the line I may, develop a debilitating illness or something.
Yeah.
It could be, I don't know. It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because, on the one hand, as I say, it smells of eugenics a bit.
Mm.
But on the other hand, at least you're not inflicting a life of suffering on a child.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is, this kind of stuff's been going on for quite a while, and pedigree and specifically bred dogs, and I believe that this will take the same kind of course of action, because right now science does not have a fucking clue as to what would happen if you eliminated one of these genes and then that mutated, because that's what it is, you're mutating something. Gene pool gets spread into another one, so you have a second generation of this previously mutated gene pool that then goes into another one, and you could seriously fuck up five or six different generations from originally trying to make something be nice. I understand that this is a kind of good cause system, but the whole genetic system is so complex that we still do not know what, 98% of this stuff does, and what happens if we remove one part of it and how it affects everything else. And, it's just like, with dogs that they inbreed, and they might look beautiful and they might be able to sniff very well, but they have potentially higher risk to certain diseases. They may not be able to see after a certain age. All this kind of stuff is very intertwined into very complex kind of fucked up engineering, which shouldn't be necessarily stopped, but shouldn't be made whereby people can pay money as a service to fuck your own potentially next line of children up, if you see what I mean. It should be kept to still a science and still an experimentation.
It's a massive debate.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here, but you're not.
Oh, fucking Skype.
Yeah.
As I was saying, it's a massive debate. Just because we have these scientific powers, should we use them?
Yeah,
and you know. Oh, it's a huge debate that we can't get into in a one-hour show.
No.
It really is a double-edged sword. It could save parents from having to bring up a disabled child.
Yeah.
But surely that disabled child has as much right to life as anyone.
Exactly.
You know? So yeah, what goes on if you do all this screening? It says, well, this fetus that's forming at the minute, yeah, okay, it's going to have a horrible, terrible life. Does that mean you've got the right to end it?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, like I say, that's a massive debate right there. So I'm not getting into it. I wanted to mention this story because it just gives me the creeps.
Yeah.
It really does. And a lot of the wording that they're using, save your sibling for one of them.
It is very fucked up. God. Yeah, yeah. It rings all sorts of... Yeah.
Save your sibling sounds very, very much like Hitler Youth
in
some ways, doesn't it?
Rings all sorts of fucking alarm bells right there.
It does, and I certainly don't think that it should be done as a matter of convenience, you know. We don't want baby Tarquin to be less than perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way forward at all.
Mm.
And, well, we've all seen what happens with inbreeding within humans.
You get Prince Charles.
People with wild families. that's right, people with no chins.
You get Camilla.
Like, 8 fingers on each hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, now, part of the problem sometimes as well with scientists, very well-meaning, but sometimes it's a case of, hey, we can do this, and then they don't think whether we should.
The consequences,
do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it really is just like with any project, you know. I mean, look at the atom bomb. It's like, well, fuck, you know. Why not? Why not investigate this thing? Why not, you know, generate nuclear power? And then once you've done it, realize the full horrible potential of this thing. You know, it's just like that. And I think if you approach it very carefully, it would be a great thing. But it's just like a nuclear bomb, really. You know? I believe that, you know, the scientists that worked on nuclear systems had the same kind of dilemma.
I'm going to have to drop again.
You still there? Ah. Right. Another story. BitTorrent search engines, a search site hits back. A search engine used to locate links to movies and music files has moved to dismiss legal attempts by the US film industry to sue over copyright. Lawyers for TorrentSpy say that the lawsuit is an attempt to make the BitTorrent system itself illegal. People use BitTorrent as a way of downloading content, often illegal sharing and sharing copyright material. TorrentSpy says it does not host copyright files and obeys requests to remove links to such material. BitTorrent has become a widely used online system to get hold of very large videos, as the technology is very effective at splitting up and sharing data. Use of the technology has provided to be a thorn in the side of the MPAA, as it can make hard to work out who is behind illegal movie sharing. As part of its effect to tackle the issue, the MPAA has targeted websites which point to BitTorrent links, such as TorrentSpy. TorrentSpy stands accused of helping copyright infringement to occur by directing people to sites, some of which host copyrighted content which can be downloaded illegally. In response, TorrentSpy has filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit in the Federal Court of Los Angeles. It challenges that the allegation made by Motion Picture Association of America that linking to torrent sites constituted secondary copyright infringement. TorrentSpy's lawyers, lawyer Ira Roken, said that the motion argument that TorrentSpy does not link to Hollywood's copyrighted works. He said TorrentSpy had cooperated with Hollywood in removing objectionable links to torrent files and did not actively promote copyright infringement. So, yeah, I guess you have, you know, a battle between these two services. It'll be quite interesting to see who actually comes out on top and who doesn't. But interesting.
It's pretty mad and short-sighted of the MPAA to go attacking the whole torrent and BitTorrent technology.
Yeah.
Just because it could be used, and for the majority, it is used to share pirated material.
Yeah.
Just because it can be used for that doesn't mean it should be outlawed.
Mm.
You know, fire can be used to set people on fire. That doesn't mean we should all go back into caves.
Fire should be made illegal.
Yeah, it's they're just they're attacking it in totally the wrong way. The technology itself is not illegal.
Yeah.
Just a lot of people use it for that way. This goes on to a whole other things. Why do we have CD burners? Why do we have DVD burners? Why can you link one VHS recorder to another VHS recorder and copy VHS tapes? You know, just because you can do that doesn't mean the method should be made illegal. If that makes any sense.
Yes, sure it does. I didn't know you could do that. Oh my god! It should be illegal.
I have to go.
Yes, I'll be right back.
It's bloody typical of these Hollywood dinosaurs attacking these new technologies that they don't understand.
Yeah.
It's been going on for far too long.
Precisely. That was funny. Napster comes in a few seconds later, ping timeout. Sorry. Right, what else do we have in the news?
Well, it's not news, but I'm just going to have to shut down Skype now because, well, obviously it's not working properly.
Yeah.
And I'm downloading the latest version. So if it comes down before the end of the show, okay. I'll speak to you before the end of the show. Failing that, I'll give another go tomorrow.
Cool.
But as I say, I've not had much joy with it tonight at all. So we'll see how this goes.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's not worth me trying to persevere with this with this version that I'm using at the moment because it's up and down like a yo-yo.
Mm. Well, Skype's pretty crap as it is, but you know, we've got to work with what we can at the moment till we get our Asterix fully deployed.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some success with it in the past, but I suspect that it's just a version issue. You know?
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed. Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Take care, man.
So, take care.
Bye bye.
That's what he's done, baby.
So, it's just me and you.
Ooh. I think we've got a few latency problems here.
Really? Have you upgraded to latency version 2.4? Obviously not.
I was doing that on purpose.
love that.
I was actually trying to think of something funny, but the silence didn't happen.
That was awesome. Gotta love it.
crap joke, but it worked. No, honestly, it's coming in and out a bit.
Yeah.
At my end.
You know what? I'm looking at something at the moment, and it's really funny. It's a card reader. It's just basically a bit of printed circuit board with a bit of plastic to hold a card in, and a few cables coming out the other end. Now, there's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cables coming out of this out of the back of this card reader. And I don't know if they've done this by design or if this is some weird mistake, but the first cable is red and the 10th cable is brown, but the first cable is much shorter than the last cable. And that's how they progressively grow across. So when you hold this thing up, it tends to slant at one angle. Now, I don't know why they did that, or if they were just trying to save money, or I know how much does a bit of wire cost, but it's weird.
Are you pulling random pieces of electronics out of your computer again?
Yes.
That's why we've got these latency problems. That's probably the sound card or something.
No. It's a card reader. It's not anything to do with...
Right.
Yeah.
Why are you sitting there looking at a card reader?
Because it just happened to be by one side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just seems like a very strange pastime to look at random pieces of electronics.
My God, how dare you?
You're not one of us, get out. I just exposed myself.
You just exposed yourself?
Yes. That can be taken in so many bad ways, can't it?
Yeah.
He
said, Firefox said, come on, red cable costs more than brown. I guess red is more popular colour. You know, when you get insure a car, you have to pay more for white and red and less for, like, brown and pink. I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah, all the cool kids want red cables. Sold out.
Oh, God, they have to cut corners. It's like they had a board meeting and said, well, to boost ROI and productivity, we are going to have to cut the red cable 4 centimeters shorter than the rest. Right, anyway. I see that's...
I still don't know what you're doing. Sitting there staring at a card reader going, why is this cable shorter than this one?
Well, it just...
It's a scary image.
Well, it just, you know, it makes me ponder. It doesn't make much sense, because the cable sticks straight out, and there's a whole lot of them, and when you pull it, all the long cables stick out to one side, and the short one goes straight up. And it just doesn't make a lot of, you know, technical sense. It's just, you know, it's not going to give off less latency along that 1 4-millimeter shorter cable than the rest, is it?
Well, it's got 4 mils shorter distance to go.
But it's only 4 inches long originally. Are they counting in, like, hundredth of a millionth of a second? Anyway.
Apparently our stream's bollocks tonight.
Yeah, it is.
It's Joe's stream.
Yeah, I don't know why. Everything's not going too well. I'm having a horrible server day today, so, you know, please do excuse me.
There's too many people on the interweb.
Yes, I'm sorry, but you're gonna... Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Try to turn that off.
Yeah, just turn the computer...
Never leave it.
Just turn the computer off and walk away. Just walk away. I'm only shitting ya. So, what else has our good friend Looking Azade found us as we round up the show?
We're going to have to round this out if we're coming in at an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Do we need to confirm with the guys from DDP What's It Hack Radio thing?
What do we need to do? It's already been done. It's already been taken
care of. Yeah, it's all been set up. Because I had a look at the... I'd look at their site, and there's two or three different shows, and ours is one of them. It says to be confirmed.
Yeah, if you go to the bottom, you'll see it says now it is confirmed, as in it says pre-recorded.
Right, cool. So it's been done.
It's been done.
Sweet.
Yes. Again, ye of little faith.
And yet, mucho lag.
Well, these are things...
I say things, I get a whole sentence out, and then it comes back to me. It's creepy.
Oh, you gotta love it.
It really is.
It's the only way to do a radio show with uber lag.
It feels like I'm talking to you and myself. There's me, there's you, and then there's the echo of me.
Doesn't that usually happen anyway?
He's talking back to me. Sometimes, not always. it's happening to freak me out.
Well, at least you haven't been drinking.
No, I haven't, obviously. I haven't had a cunt all night, Drinkstable.
Yeah. Have you heard about that 14-year-old girl that got caught drink driving? And another, you know, very good segue.
Have I heard about her?
Yeah.
Shit, I married her.
Well, shouldn't you be in prison?
Oh, she's 14 years old. Last bit up.
Yeah, good.
You better tell us the story.
Yeah, this 14-year-old girl... appeared in court in front of magistrates because she was drink driving a second time, and she came into court to say, "I've mended my noobish little ways," but was then brought down with a sentence and threw a jug of water over the magistrates, punched a solicitor in the back, and ran screaming around, screaming abuse and kicking furniture after she heard that she was going to be detained for 4 months. A few minutes later, Lenny Black, who has a history of offending, this is a girl, had said that she was learning to control her anger. Bollocks. She was the youngest ever drink driver. She's the youngest ever drink driver to get sentenced. And she was caught in her father's car at the age of 12 on a Christmas brunch. Now, she started drinking at 12 as well as driving a car. You do not fucking put somebody like that in a courtroom and then be very shocked when they start throwing around water and going around and punching people. Now, do you? It's like...
Pikey!
Exactly. You have to take immediate action and give high amounts of, brainwave suppressant drugs. Like acid.
Lock her up.
Yeah. Lock her up for life. There we go. And another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Right. I think it's nearly time.
Well, that's the state of England.
Yeah.
Bloody 12-year-olds drink driving. Yep, it's time, man.
Yeah, it's time. I think we have to...
Am I still lagging?
You're lagging in and out.
Yes.
I don't know. I'll see what... it could just be my connection. It could be various other things. And it could be a pigeon that flew onto a wire 2 miles away. I don't know. These things happen. But the end of the world is coming, so... Yes. It has been predicted by my ADSL line.
Yeah.
So we'll end on a little song. If you want to send us an email, it's radio@hackervoice.co.uk. Cheers for listening to another episode. We'll see you next time. Same hack channel, same hack time. Good night.
Yeah, bye. Let's have an extended play together. You're telling me that we live too far to love each other, but our love can stretch farther than the eye can see. So, how does this make you feel?
Quit smoking.